You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
All right, trade pros, welcome to the podcast. Welcome back. Today we have a special episode on Mind Over Markets. We're interviewing a good friend of mine and someone that I met through some business interactions that then flourished on to be, you know, a much deeper relationship. And we've went back and forth a lot about, you know, consciousness, personal development, abundance. And we figured in this episode, we're going to bring out our guest today, Matt, and we're going to have a discussion a little bit in length on this. So it's not 100% trading focused, but it's mostly psychology, personal development, and allowing yourself to step into the reality of you where money isn't an obstacle. And we're going to work on money mindset, abundance, and we're going to go through a lengthy journey here, and it's going to be super fun. Super excited to have you on here, Matt. Welcome aboard, and welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, George. It's a real honor and a pleasure to be here, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity.
Awesome, my man. Really excited to talk with you. I want to start off by maybe ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your personal development journey, what you've gone through so far.
Yeah, definitely. And this isn't the sort of thing, you know, that people ask you about every day. So, you know, just thinking about this question, I'm like, wow, it really has been a journey. At the time of this recording, I am 31. And I believe I was 19 when I really got introduced to the idea of personal development, kind of in the first place in its pure form. So anyways, my name's Matt, Matt Brown, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois originally. And now I live in Portland, Oregon with my wife. And, you know, I grew up in a good family and had a good education, but self-help, personal development, consciousness, psychology, these things weren't like really that interesting to my family. And it's just not something we ever really engaged with, you know, it's more to study hard, work hard, that sort of thing. And sort of my avenue into personal development, it's interesting. I'm an introvert naturally. And during college, I was living in Spain for a year abroad, and I had made some friends there. And, you know, that's when you really start going out and you're interacting, you're becoming more social. And one of my good friends there is named Stan. I think he could tell, like, I needed a little bit of help, like, on the dating side of things and, like, interacting with women and stuff like that. And so he gave me a recording from a guy named Evan Pagan. I'm not sure if you know who he is.
I don't actually.
So, you know, Evan is probably more, he's kind of known in both worlds, but it was basically he gave me a recording of a self-help seminar that he did that helped men be more confident and meet women and have communication skills and stuff like that. And it was the first thing I had ever heard like that, like how to understand your own personal psychology and how things are interfering and how your identity plays a role in all of this stuff. And so it was kind of like self-help, personal development masked as dating advice. And I was just hooked. I was like, oh my goodness, I have never heard anybody speaking about this in the first place. And in that seminar, he recommended all of these books. And so, you know, I was a very kind of like brainy person at that time anyways. And so I just got all these books and I started devouring them, you know, like things like Think and Grow Rich. I've read probably hundreds, if not thousands of books. So a lot of stuff like that. So that was kind of my introduction into personal development. And it's funny because my friend, he was like, Matt, I need you to up your dating game so you can go out and be my wingman, basically. Go out to the bars and help me meet Spanish women. And here I am, you know, 10 years later, and I'm married to the love of my life, and I have a great life. And I've talked to Stan about this. I'm like, that was a pivotal moment in my life, getting introduced to that sort of material. And that was kind of the trailhead that got me on this path.
That's amazing. So I guess through some of the skill sets you learned, you were able to implement that. Like, is there a story that you applied it to the relationship? And then it's like a sweet romantic story that ended up into the marriage, or was it something that just blossomed naturally without some of the self-help stuff you applied?
With getting married or what?
Like, what's the story between how that happened? Because I find that interesting, right? I've looked at a lot of self-help stuff applied from that, and I think it stems from the same thing, right? It's like looking at yourself as identity, like who you are and putting yourself out there. And I think it's interesting to apply it to that way as well, because at the end of the day, that's what we're doing as traders also. We're not in there, you know, picking up people, but we are exposing ourselves in a way that most people aren't comfortable doing. So I was just curious, like the some of what you learned, was it a reason that led to the marriage, or like give us some lines is what I'm asking.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Well, the thing is that it really was a deep personal development tape, you know, seminar, that sort of thing. And it wasn't like pick up lines, that sort of thing. It was more like really looking at your unconscious and looking at your shadow and the things that you can't see about yourself and what your blind spots are. And so one of them that was actually really important was at that time, you know, I'm kind of like an angsty 19-year-old. And one of the things that Evan was talking about in the program was how important it is for you to have a positive relationship with your father, whether they're in your life or out of your life. You need to have a positive relationship and a harmonious relationship with that sort of patriarchal masculine energy in your life. And so at that time, I was kind of like, my dad, you know, like there was a lot more friction and a lot more dissonance there. And so there was a set of exercises in the seminar about things you need to hear from your dad, basically, like things that you need to hear from the part of your psyche that is projected onto your father. And right. So, you know, I was all in. I'm like, I'm doing this. Like, I need to really develop, because that's what really captured me about all this work was it's real, it's true personal development. And so when I got back from Spain, I don't remember exactly when it was, but once I had been kind of steeped in this long enough, I sat down with my dad and I said, Dad, you know, I just feel like I have all this tension with my relationship with you. And I think it all stems from feeling like you aren't proud of me. And that was really hard for me to say to my dad. And he goes, oh no, like I'm so proud of you. And it was very healing for me and for my own psychology to be able to hear that from my dad. You know, the conversation was more in depth than that, but really I needed, it was, you know, the exercise was helping you to realize what you needed to hear from your dad and then ask them to say that to you. And so, you know, going through that, it just, that's what starts this whole reintegration process of the psyche. And disclaimer, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a doctor of any kind. So this is just straight up from my own personal experience.
Right.
I'm very happy that I was able to do this and repair my relationship with my dad and hear these things from him, because actually a few years later, he ended up dying. And if I wouldn't have done this, then I never would have gotten the chance to hear these things from him in a way I needed to hear them
right.
when he was alive. And I'd have to go through some hypnotic, you know, induction, regress into the past, see your father, you know, that sort of thing. So right. I'm really happy that material came into my life at the time that it did. And so ultimately, I never really used this stuff for dating, but the work that it led me to then do on myself, I believe, is what allowed me to even be capable of attracting my soulmate and being in love and having a nice, you know, healthy relationship.
That's so awesome. It's like when we think about relationships, and by the way, that's a very powerful story, Matt. Like, thank you for opening up and sharing that, because you know, I think that kind of brings us to the point here that at the end of the day, when we think about relationships, it's more about like the relationship with the self that a lot of people don't really get a chance to really go too deep into. They always feel like relationships are something outside of themselves, but, you know, don't really spend as much time working on the inner relationship with oneself. And I think that's what I wanted to explore with you in the episode today. And also, I'm pretty sure you're a good futures trader, because growing up in Chicago, that's like the center of the world for trading. And that air that you were breathing, I guarantee you.
Well, my dad worked for the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
There you go. That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. So there's a trader in you, Matt. We know it for
okay.
sure.
Okay. We'll talk about that after the episode.
Yeah, we'll work on that for sure. But I wanted to kind of get into the relationship with the self, because this is what I want to focus on the episode in terms of like abundance, right? I know that abundance is a term that's very rarely understood, and especially sort of in the male futures and trading overall is male predominated. You know, we're trying to change that. We got a lot of great female traders, but it's like, from the male perspective, we don't really internally reflect and say, look, what is abundance? We're taught work hard, keep swinging, and it's going to work out somehow magically. But, you know, is there at any time in your life where you had an opportunity to work on yourself with abundance, and any insight you could share on that with us?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I think for me, you really have to ask yourself, why do you even want money? Why do you want abundance? And without doing this sort of inner work and looking at yourself and looking at your blind spots and looking at these more shadowy aspects of your psyche, the true reason and your true intention behind wanting wealth, abundance, money, it may not be a good reason, and it may actually be counterproductive to actually acquiring abundance. So it's really interesting. And again, I didn't realize it at the time, but, you know, Eben Pagan, the guy who I did the first seminar with, or, you know, listened to that material, I then discovered he had a whole line of products. So I've basically been through every single piece of education and course that he has. And he had a course called Self-Made Wealth, and it's all about looking at your relationship with money. And, you know, when I was after college and I was living in Chicago, I really kind of considered myself like an artist. You know, I was in bands, I was a musician, I was into like consciousness. I was kind of like your like kind of stereotypical like stoner thinker dude, you know, like I don't need money, blah, 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 whatever. Like, I'll just live my life. And then, you know, it was really once I got married that I realized, okay, I'm responsible for the future of my family, and I'm responsible for the wealth that, you know, we're able to create or not to create. And so that's when I really got serious about looking at, you know, I mean, there's so many roads we can go down. I will say too, it's always been part of my personality to be a saver. So I've always had plenty of money, right? But that was something I had to overcome in order to get into investing. And so once I got married and once I had done more personal development work specifically around money, wealth, and things like that, that's when I was able to look at my own relationship with money and what is the purpose of money in my life. So that was kind of the entry point. There's so many things we could say.
Yeah, about absolutely. This is why I want to have you on the episodes, because like you and I have these chats. On like every time we're like, let's do a 5-minute call. You know, we go on for like an hour and we have these discussions. And sometimes I'm wondering, like, I should just hit the record button on this. And now I actually did. So this is good. But I think you mentioned something really interesting there, is that, you know, we see this in our business a lot. People say, I want to come in here and make money. Like anyone who thinks they get into trading or like business or entrepreneurship for any other reason than that, you know, you start out with the intent of making money. But very few of us actually stop to wonder, like, what would we do with that money? And I think until we sort of allow ourselves to go down that route and design, what would a life look like? Like, what would we do with that money? Because money in itself is pretty useless, right? It's the things that we do with money that bring us the joy and the experiences that we're after. And so I think part of the reason that is that we all just focus on a dollar amount. Like, traders come in and say, I want to make $300 a day. And we get them to kind of stop and be like, well, what would you do with that? Like, if you were doing that much money, what would you do with it? And then get them to surround themselves with visuals. And I think a lot of the challenge in that is, the reason we want money is because it seems easy, right? Having goals, it's a much harder thing. Money is something easy that we could say, hey, I want to make $100,000 a year. But then what? Because without those extra goals, it becomes a pretty empty thing. And, you know, one of the challenges for traders is that abundance mindset. And I'm wondering, Matt, like, was there a part in your journey where you felt, look, you know, I'm married now, and now I'm responsible to create this wealth. Like, what is my responsibility here to take the next step? Because Here's the way I want to look at it. This is a long-winded way to get to this, right? People feel like they want to make X amount of money, but internally some of them have doubt and they say, am I worth that? You know, is abundance something I deserve, right? It's kind of like a self-worth question. And so how do you think, you know, we could apply some of that? Because I know you read a lot more stuff. I research a lot and I talk to you like, have you read this book? Have you read that one? And you always kind of get me steered towards my journey. So is there something you could give to our listeners who may be struggling with the concept that, hey, I deserve to be successful. I deserve abundance.
Absolutely. And this speaks directly to a more recent experience that I had. So, you know, I've done, like you said, I've read a lot of books. I've done a lot of courses and trainings and things like that. But this past year was the first time I ever worked with a coach directly. You know, I did a coaching program with someone, and the focus of the group was working on your subconscious identity. And so again, that's a whole nother road we can go down, your subconscious identity. But I think that it's really important to talk about, because, and I know that you're familiar with NLP. I think that there's, you know, you may have talked about it on your podcast before, but you have the logical levels in NLP, you know, source, right, identity, belief, skills, behavior, environment. And so if someone's thinking, okay, I want to make a lot of money. I want to make a lot of money. I want to make $300 a day trading. You know, even if they don't have an idea of why or what they're going to do with it or why they want it, that's just happening on the thought level. You know, the thoughts are, I want money. I want money. I want money. And I think what I'd like to share is that it's really important to go and look at your identity, because your identity is kind of happening at a lower level of your consciousness than your thoughts. You know, your thoughts are here, they're immediate, but your identity is kind of this slow moving, much more permanent, not permanent, but much more solid aspect of your being. And if your identity is saying to you, I'm not abundant, or I don't deserve wealth, or I'm poor, or, you know, if you grew up in your family hearing, we're not rich, we're not like those people, I wasn't born under the $1 million star, money doesn't grow on trees, whatever, that's your literal identity. Like that's like who you are at your core. And so regardless of what you're thinking, if your identity isn't in harmony with abundance or with attracting abundance or with feeling like you deserve abundance, it's going to be an uphill battle fighting against that.
Right. I absolutely agree, like 100%. I think bringing up the logical level is a fascinating piece. And to our listener, we'll post that in the show notes so you guys could go through it. But, you know, the bottom end of that logical level is like the environment. And from that upwards goes environment, behavior, skill, belief, values, and then identity at the top. And I think, Matt, that's so imperative, because there's so many times that in success, we figure what's the easiest thing that we have control over to change? Our environment, right? We could say, I'm going to build this environment around me, spend all this money, get all these monitors to trade.
Right.
Right. And then you say, all right, now I need some behaviors. All right. I got a discipline. I need a trading strategy. But we work on the low end where we think we have control of things because it makes logical sense. But I think the most empowering change is a shift in your identity. And so, you know, we've talked about this a lot. And even myself personally, my family are like blue collar workers that immigrated to Canada. And that was my identity. Right? It's like I had to believe, or I believed, that hard work is how you make money. And so to me, when I first started trading, it's like it wasn't hard work. It was like an hour or 2 hours, and it wasn't an hourly job. It wasn't, for example, you got to punch the clock, punch out, and that's how you create wealth. It was more short-term, concentrated, and it didn't have to be hard. And that's kind of what I struggled with. So identity is one of those things that we try to work with on this podcast. And I definitely get the listener to be like, hey, look, what is my identity? Because we don't think about that often, right? We focus so much on the things we can change logically, but really the big change is subconscious. And that's when we get into the NLP techniques, and we love to use it. So I think Mark had a question for you, actually.
Yeah, man, I got a question for you. You mentioned that, you know, you were kind of a saver growing up. And I was definitely in the same kind of a boat. And, you know, you spoke on identity. Can you maybe speak on, you know, the the identity shift that's required to kind of go from a saver's mindset into that of an abundant mindset?
Yes, I'll do my best to speak to that.
Well, have you done it yourself, Matt? I'm just curious, like, because we want to.
I will tell you, I'm a work in progress. Okay, I'm not at the end. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a guru. I'm just a guy that's into all this stuff, and I'm always researching. I'm always learning, and I'm always working on my development. And so,
I can tell you one thing.
Yeah,
I think that's the most important thing right there. I think you saying that alone is what fascinates me about you, because you know so much, you've gone through so much, you've learned so much, and you know, I think we're all a work in progress, man. I'm there. Yeah, I'm right there with
students,
you.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Forever students. Yeah. That's also kind of the kind of mindset that we tend to see from successful traders. You know, they're humble. They know that they know a lot, but they know that there's so much more out there, and they're constantly hungry to go get that.
Yeah, so I love that you mentioned that.
That's who I am. And I know, George, we've talked about this book. And to answer your question, Mark, there's a book out there. It's called Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz.
Love that book.
And when I read that book, I had a really big realization into myself, which was in the book, he talks about how people within their identity, they have what he calls their financial barometer, which is the amount of money you're comfortable making and the amount of money you're comfortable having. And up until this point in my life, I grew up with a couple different beliefs around money. But one of the main ones that my mom and dad instilled in me was, you gotta save for a rainy day. Like, I can't tell you how many times my mom told me that. Every time, you know, getting in the car, like anything.
Yeah.
And I think my personality naturally gravitated towards that, because I have whatever, a saver's disposition or a saver's character versus my brother, who growing up, he heard the exact same thing. He heard, you got to save for a rainy day. You got to save for a rainy day. Yet he spent his money before he ever got it. You know, like even when we were kids, if he had a quarter, he was putting it in the gumball machine. I'm like, hey, go put it in your bank. And you know, I was the kid who in my room, I had a bookshelf. And I can tell you more about this story later. I had, you know, toys and stuff like that on there, but I had a bank, and it was one of those banks where you put the coins in and it like went down this kind of contraption. And if it was a quarter, it went to the left. If it was a, you know, based on the weight, it went to the special thing. And I got a lot of stories about money and my identity around money that we can talk about if you want. But to speak back, going back to that thing that you were talking about with the saver's identity, when I read that in Dr. Maxwell Maltz, I realized, oh my goodness, like the reason I've always had this chunk of money in my bank account set aside, you know, was because I'm saving for a rainy day. That's my financial barometer. This is the amount of money that I feel like I need to just have laying around in case something happens. And, you know, I've been very fortunate in my life, and I haven't had a lot of crazy events or things that have been very disruptive. You know, obviously things happen in life, but I've never even really needed to tap into that. So once I started looking in that, I said, you know, I feel like I've kind of mastered this level. I know that if I ever need to get this much money and save this amount of money, like I have the skills and I have the tools to do that. Now what I need to do is learn the skills and the tools to focus more on investing and focus more on building long-term wealth versus just having this nest egg. But I will be honest with you, it's still a challenge. I like just having money, and I like having it and having it stay the same amount. So what I've had to learn is understanding that money actually, you know, guys, we can go down the rabbit hole here. Money is, from an energetic standpoint, it gets stagnant if you just leave it somewhere.
Right.
And it's supposed to be in circulation, and it's not about hoarding, and it's not about just locking it up. And so I do my best now to keep as much money in circulation, or at least to have every dollar have a purpose.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. I love that you mentioned that, right? Like money is meant to be circulated. It's like a source of energy, right? And just piling it up and not putting it to any intention is like, you know, what are we saving for? At the end of the day, we're here for a temporary amount of time. And when I found this fascinating, because when I was doing my research into it, because Matt, I was the same way. You know, my parents immigrated from Bulgaria to Canada. My dad was an engineer. My mom was a nurse. They had a really hard time, like, getting a job in the Western society, right? Because they were saying, hey, what's your experience? And the experience is back home for them. So they have no experience to get a job. But in order to get experience, you got to kind of have a job, right? It's like catch 22. And so, you know, that's when I started thinking. Like, I did a lot of thinking as well in my youth. And I was kind of thinking, look, where do the values come from that I have? And that's when I got into my research early on, before I even knew NLP. And I was like, where are the values coming from? And I think that if we go back and we regress from where we are now and go backwards, it's really cool to see, look, my mom was born in 58. Probably shouldn't have told you that. I'm going to get grounded now. But
hey, that's when my mom was born too. So yeah, it's all out there.
Yeah, exactly. These days, information circulates freely. Right. Sorry, mom. But so it's like she was born in 58. So if you do the math, you know, just 30 years prior, there was like a Great Depression. So she was born, I think my grandma gave birth to my aunt. She was 21, early in her 20s. So she remembers those lessons, and those lessons are passed on and on and on. And for me, you know, to me, what success meant and what I wanted to do was like freedom, abundance. It was never really about money. It was about the freedom to do whatever I want, but money was the tool with which I was going to accomplish that. So the hardest part I had in my journey personally was overcoming like the notion that I deserve to have this money, right? And like you, whenever I had it stored and saved in a bank account, it made me feel great. Like, it's great to log in and look at the money and say, wow, look how much I've saved. But now in today's world, with like a little bit of more investment knowledge, I look at money in a bank account, I'm like, look at all these dead bodies hiding in this closet. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, we have that saying in the room, right? That each dollar you have is kind of like an employee, if you will.
Yeah, and that's the Robert Kiyosaki approach too, right? That book actually did a lot for me as a young kid.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Yeah, reading that
book. Such a great book.
Yeah,
it's a phenomenal book and a must read for everyone else. So I just wanted to transition this a little bit further here, Matt. And at this point of life, you know, like what are some of the challenges that you're facing in like your personal development? Not challenges, maybe opportunities, because we've kind of gone through some of your journey at the beginning, you know, to saving, to now transitioning, to looking for some investing. Like, what are some things you're working on at the moment, you know, for performance psychology and just to move forward in general?
Absolutely. So yeah. Again, I'll just be completely honest with your audience here. As part of this program that I did last year, like I said, there was a big component of the subconscious work. And so there was a particular training, a particular audio program that we were given access to that the person who facilitated the coaching group created for us. And it's like he called it the money identity hypnosis. And right. what the hypnosis audio did was, you know, he does a standard induction, and then he leads you into kind of an open space where someone from your life, from your past, can come forward, and it can help you identify what beliefs they gave you about money. And then you have an opportunity in that space to decide whether or not that belief is still serving you or not. And if it's not serving you, you can then give it back to that person, and then they can take it back, and it you know, you're working it out of your psyche. Wow. So as I was doing this, I had a really powerful memory come back for me that I had kind of, I don't know if I'll say repressed, but you know, I've been alive for a while now, and I've had a lot of memories, and this one I just didn't think about every day. But this was another really particular story from my childhood where I remember that I wasn't a slacker at school, but I was smart and I didn't have to work that hard. And usually that was fine because I could just read, do the test and be fine. But a couple of times, you know, it backfired where like, crap, I was really not prepared for this test. And I didn't know if I fail it, but I got a bad grade, a grade that wasn't acceptable in my family. And I remember, you know, when I brought that test home, my mom was like, oh boy, wait until your dad sees this. And, you know, of course, growing up, that's not a good, that, you know, something bad's coming. And I remember when my dad came home or whatever, I was in my room. And when I was a kid, I loved Porsches. I had a collection of Porsche model cars in my room. And I remember my dad, you know, came into my room and he was really kind of upset. Like, you know, he's probably stressed out from work all day, you know, being an adult. And then, you know, the news of this bad test and, you know, I was, you know, he's just dad mad. Parent, you know how parents get. And I remember he looked at me and he said, "Matt," I think he was holding my test. I don't remember the exact, you know, memory, but he said, "Matt, do you know the difference between people who have Porsches and don't have Porsches?" And I was like, "No." He goes, "People that have Porsches are successful and you're not successful."
Wow.
"And you'll never get a Porsche."
Right.
Because, you know, he's trying to motivate me.
Right.
But in my mind at that time, I really internalized, like, I'm not successful. And right. I don't deserve success. And I don't deserve to be successful. And that I really believe that at that point, that was kind of embedded into my unconscious. That was embedded into my identity. And so it worked against me for a long time. And so when I did that, you know, that hypnotic induction, I really realized, oh my goodness, I've been walking around with this for so long, thinking that, you know, I don't deserve to be successful or I don't deserve to have a Porsche. And it's all symbolic, you know, it's
absolutely
a Porsche is, you know, it's whatever it is, it could be a car, a house, or anything like that. It's just a symbol. And so, you know, during that, I really felt like I got to give that belief back to my dad and realize, you know, he had a positive intention behind this. He wasn't trying to hurt me. He wasn't trying to damage me. He just wanted me to live up to my potential and to do the best that I could. But I no longer need this belief. And so, you know, since I was able to do that, I really feel a lot lighter and freer. And I feel like I truly deserve success. So I kind of feel like if you ever driven in a golf cart, they have a governor on the engine that prevents you from going over a certain mile per hour. I feel like the governor's off and I'm just, you know, I'm able to just exist in that space. But, you know, I'm like I said, a work in progress.
Yeah. Wow. That's a fascinating story. And like we've touched on something, I think it's super important that we could unpack a little bit. It's, you know, you said it very good. It's that your dad meant well, right? That statement was meant to inspire, but the way we interpret things and is a whole different thing. And once you accept a belief, you know, it funnels down the logical levels and it creates everything else, right? It's going to create the environment, your actions, your values, once you accept the belief. And I think it's interesting because in our industry as well, Matt, we see this a lot also, right? Because when you think about financial markets and investing, the standard opinion is it's a risky business, right? And we get told a lot, look, like this is a lot of risk you're taking. Aren't you afraid you're going to lose all this money? You know, what if you fail? And we're hearing these things on a continuous basis. And I think people don't realize that we get the choice to accept or reject these things. And it's easy for me to say this now, but I could totally understand how as at a younger age, you know, looking towards a father figure or like a parental figure, you just accept it because that's what it is, right? Like,
right.
The people that brought me in here and I'm accountable to these people.
Yeah. You know,
it's like they gave you life and they could take it. I've once heard that quote from someone. Right. But it's, and I think for trading and for success overall, it's the things that we've accepted. And I think that's a phenomenal exercise we could hand off to the readers or listeners to take some time alone and think about what are the things that you've been told that are maybe holding you back that you've accepted that you don't have to. And I love this idea of just giving it back to them. It's like, you know, thank you. I know that you mean well. Because even in trading, people will say, oh, you're going to lose all your money. And if it's someone you love saying that to you, they're not saying it to you because they want you to lose it. They mean the best for you. They want to kind of alert you of danger, but they don't realize they're doing it in a way that's actually creating the outcome that they're trying to help you avoid. So that's awesome. Like I'd love for people who are listening to this to use Matt's story, which is very powerful. Thank you for sharing, Matt.
And you know, this kind of connects back to why this is all of a journey, because something I learned in that first personal development seminar I ever did was that everyone has a positive intention at all times. And this actually, I wrestled with this for a while because I was like, what about, you know, extreme situations? What about extreme scenarios? But I really came to believe that everyone truly has a positive intention behind every action that they take. It may be a selfish positive intention. It may be like I'm trying to protect myself, but no one is ever intentionally trying to hurt you or trying to cause damage. You know, the intention behind it is positive, at least in their mind. And what this really allowed for me was to, you know, I was probably 19 when I discovered this, and I didn't have a huge victim mentality, but I feel like it was sort of the antidote to ever developing a true victim mentality and realizing that I'm at cause and I have power and I'm not, you know, at the wish and whim of other people. And other people, if someone says something that upsets me or whatever, their intention behind it was not to upset me. It's my choice to be upset or not. And so going back to that, you know, to the giving back the beliefs, part of, I think, the ability to actually do that and to release it is to realize that the reason this person gave you this belief in the first place was to protect you.
Right.
Like, I want my dad, I want you to be successful. What I've tried to motivate you so far hasn't worked. Maybe you need a little bit more stern,
right,
you know, situation. If I was able to rewind and rewatch that event now, I probably wouldn't even feel, you know, emotional at all. It would just be like, oh, that's just my dad, like, trying to, like, come on, Matt, study harder. But at the time, you know, with the way my psyche is structured at age 10 or whenever that happened, that's the way I interpret it. So,
wow, yeah. You said that you came to that conclusion when you were 19, Matt. I think you said a few times, you're like, you know, I'm still a work in progress. I don't pretend. But, like, it took me 33. It took me the whole age span that Jesus was alive for me to learn that one simple concept. I think I learned that in, like, my early 30s, that, you know, at the end of the day in NLP, there's a saying that goes, people are doing the best they can with the resources they have.
Yeah. Right?
And it took me a very long time to kind of come to that conclusion. But ever since I have, you know, it's been so freeing, and my life has honestly changed. I found success in ways I never thought I would, which is one simple realization. So many opportunities have come to me with that train of thought. But, you know, when you think about it, it's like the fight was never with anyone else. It was just internal. It's like choosing to accept that means you're surrendering in a way. You're becoming vulnerable, right?
Right.
It's like, hey, somebody could take advantage of me. But, hey, even if they do, they meant it in a good way. And, you know, I think that is the root of kind of abundance, is choosing to accept that, hey, look, to be a severe cause means that somebody might be saying stuff to me, and if I get upset, that's my fault, you know. And so one of the questions I like to ask people is, how are you at fault for that? Or sorry, how are you a cause for that? And they hate it. Me and my wife do it to each other at the funniest times, but but it's a great question to ask. So if any point in your life, like, you know, people are having challenges, maybe with trading, maybe with growing a business, whatever it might be, if you just sit down and ask yourself, for the biggest challenges you have, how am I a cause for that? That's led to some of the most robust opportunities I've ever had in my life. It's awesome we went down that path.
I remember when I heard that, because I was just like, no, that can't be right. What? Like, what does he actually mean by that when he says that? And, you know, I really had to wrestle with that thought. And I was like, you know what? I think that that's actually right. Because you start seeing it in, you know, I worked in a hospital for 4 years during college. And this was kind of my, like, training ground. It was like the immediate feedback for all this personal development stuff. Because, you know, in my mind at this time, I'm thinking, okay, everyone has a positive intention. Nobody's doing things to hurt me and victimize me. If the things that people are saying are hurtful, then that's what I'm choosing to think. And so then someone sits down at my desk and I need to help them with something. And, oh, they're mad. They're impatient. They're yelling at me. They're trying to force me. I'm like, oh, this is what they're doing. Their daughter is sick. And they're just trying to get them in the door as quickly as possible because they want to end the suffering of their daughter. They're not trying to make me feel bad. They're trying to get their daughter in the hospital as soon as possible. And so it was this continual reframing of all these things. And when you really start believing this, that's when all this stuff stops happening internally and your life really, really transforms. Because it's like everything is give and take. Like, if someone's doing something hurtful to you or whatever, I don't want to get in trouble with, you know, we're in a Me Too era or whatever. But like, if if someone's yelling at you, and you're like you are victimizing yourself, or you are, you know, internalizing that or reacting to it, that is feeding the thing that's happening. But if you have no reaction to it, then the thing just stops because it has nothing to. It has nothing to sort of connect with and correspond with. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like the victim mentality is an interesting thing because, you know, when you put yourself in that mentality, you're giving power to the thing that victimizes, like you mentioned. And more importantly, you're taking the power away from yourself, right? And I think when I had that change, the reason I said, you know, when I chose to believe people are doing the best they can with the resources they have, it just opened up a world of potential for me. Because up to that point, you know, I had some challenges believing that, you know, it's like, I'm just trying to be safe. It's not like I felt people were trying to do me wrong, but I just felt like it was me against everybody.
Right.
And it's just all of us helping one another. And that's what's happened at TradePro. We've really developed a strong community and, you know, it's been very empowering and living a true cause makes fantastic difference or makes a huge difference in anything you're doing, like performance. You know, trading is a performance business, entrepreneurship. And so, you know, this is a fascinating chat. You and I could talk for hours on this stuff, but I wanted to kind of pick your brain on a few things that I know that you're super insightful on in terms of entrepreneurship. So I know you've studied entrepreneurs a lot. You work with them in your current role. So is there something you could kind of help us understand in terms of what makes entrepreneurs successful? Like, what are some stories or challenges you've heard that they've broke through, some common characteristics, wherever you want to take it? I just want to extract some stuff from you about entrepreneurship, because trading is entrepreneurship, and we chat about that a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, definitely. So like you said, in my current position, I've really had the good fortune to work with a lot of entrepreneurs in a lot of different industries, yourself included. And it's interesting because I feel like my personality and my character traits, I will tell you, I do not identify as an entrepreneur. I don't think that I am cut from that cloth. I, like before the call, I said entrepreneurs are a different breed of human being. And I really believe that. I really believe that. Give me a second to collect my thoughts here, because there's a lot here. This is a very rich topic.
I kind of just stuck a really broad one right in your path.
It's all good. So one of the things that I've noticed about successful entrepreneurs is that, man, they just have this really true grit and determination. Like, you don't really ever meet any wishy-washy entrepreneurs who are successful.
That's a quotable right there. I think that'll be the click the tweet for this episode.
No, I mean, it's fascinating. There's this trend, and I also am fortunate that I get to work with successful entrepreneurs. So I get to work with people that are that have made it far enough along the path that they're supporting themselves and their business with whatever they've decided to create. And
what are some of the what are some of the top characteristics you find, like engaging with these people, interacting with them? You know, like what would you say are like the three qualities rather about them that kind of stick out to you? Because we could parlay this back to trading very easily as well.
So I would say that maybe three of the most common character traits that I've really noticed in entrepreneurs is that they're committed, they are resourceful, and they are persistent. Right. So, and this the reason I think that I work well with entrepreneurs is because, you know, I was a musician. I kind of have an artistic background. My wife is an artist. She's a painter, and entrepreneurs, are really creating something. You know, building a business and creating a masterpiece painting, I think, are very similar, because the vision that you have in your head of your business doesn't exist in the real world. And it's almost, I think it's probably a lot harder to create a business, because a lot of people in your life are going to say, that's a bad idea. Right. That's not going to succeed. Are you crazy? People don't want to buy that. No, there's no way. And they have to, you really have to, I've noticed that they like, I had this vision. I got this inspiration. I knew I had to create this and I just knew it was going to be successful. Like, it's weird. Entrepreneurs to me are almost very spiritual people because everything that's happening in the outside world is telling them, don't do this. It's going to fail. This isn't going to work. Nobody's going to buy this. And they have this inner voice that's like, no, this is going to work. I'm going to make this work. And they're willing to persist through all of these layers of failure until they finally get to this place where it's actually working. And this is kind of, this is like the DNA of like the entrepreneurial journey that I've noticed is that. And it's funny because now anytime one of my friends is like, oh, I'm thinking about starting a business. I'm like, you mean you're thinking about starting three businesses because the first two are going to fail and the third one is going to be the one that takes off.
Right.
Like, don't get too attached to this idea because every successful entrepreneur I talked with, it's like, yeah, I had this idea and I created it. And, you know, 80% of it failed, but there was 20% of it that was really good. And I took that 20% and then I started a second business and that one almost succeeded. And 50% of that was good and 50% I just had to toss. And then I talked to everyone and, you know, they're always looking for feedback. And then they finally get to the point where it's like, no, people actually want this. This is great. I'm creating value and people are recognizing the value for this and they're willing to pay for it.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's phenomenal. Like we've touched on a great point there that I'd love to expand on a little bit. I feel that in today's generation, entrepreneurship is becoming a little trendy, if you will, right? It's
very trendy.
Yeah, it's like it's sexy. It's a trendy thing to do, like work from your pajamas and slippers. And I think that's creating sort of a desire for people to be entrepreneurs for the lifestyle aspect, right? And we could very easily relate this to trading as well. Like you look at, you go online, you know, if you type in literally investing into Google search and you click search once in your life, you're going to be hit with ads for the rest of your life of how you can make like Lamborghinis overnight, right? It's like, we've attached ourselves to this lifestyle thing, but from what you're saying, dealing with entrepreneurs literally daily in your capacity is that it's leading with vision, with passion, with purpose, right? And I think that's what creates the success, even for trading, for entrepreneurship, for anything where you're trying to grow or develop something. You got to know what you're doing this for. What is the whole purpose of this? Because there are going to be some tough times inevitably. Right. Yeah. We all like to look at the end result and celebrate the success. But, you know, it's like it's an overnight success, 10 years in the making. That's kind
of absolutely
for a lot of people. And I wanted to parlay this back into trading a little bit for our listeners is that, you know, we talked about this with Matt earlier on. It's you got to know what you're going to have the money for. Right. The lifestyle is going to come, but the lifestyle is not the target of all this. It's what are you going to do with it? How are you going to propel, you know, society forward? What is your purpose? And I think that without having a purpose or passion, no matter what you achieve, it's going to feel empty. And I've got to be honest with you, you know, in my life, when we immigrated to Canada with my parents, we literally had nothing. And I've always in my mind visually created what I wanted my reality to be like. And the scary part is, Matt, that I'm living that at the moment, right? I've elevated to a level that I had imagined. But if I had only that as my goal, it would be very empty. You know, I talk about this with a lot of friends in my circle where like, you know, we've hit some things that are great, but it would feel completely empty if there was no purpose for it. So for me, right, my purpose waking up is the community we trade with, seeing people succeed at such a big level and transition to a new job. Like right now, I just got off the phone. I had an email, but I have a phone call with somebody right after. And we're going to chat about a business that he had started. You know, it's a catering business that he, unfortunately, with this COVID-19 epidemic, you know, the catering transactions have really slowed down. He said, look, I'm having to lay off people that have committed to this business for 33 years.
Wow.
Right. And it's like, I can only imagine how hard it is for him to do that. And,
yeah.
And he's like, thank God that I got into the trading stuff because now I have a different means of earning for myself. But the whole point I'm trying to make here is that like you just have to have vision. You have to have purpose. And you have to know that you're going to have to go through some of these rough patches. And trading is the same way. It's like that's likened to you try a new strategy, a new approach, and it doesn't do as well. And then you have to revamp, rejig, and keep going. So it's with entrepreneurship, with trading, I think that if we could keep the end goal in mind more so than trying to live a certain lifestyle, it's going to really guide us. That's been very important for me. Marky's typing something.
And I think too, I think what you're saying speaks to, you really have to know what your values are in life. Right. You have to know what your core values are, because if your values aren't in alignment with your actions, it's going to create dissonance, basically. It's going to create friction in your life. So if in your mind you're thinking, okay, I want to have these things, I want to have this lifestyle, but your values aren't in alignment with what's actually needed to create those things, there's going to be internal resistance and there's going to be problems there.
I love that. Why aren't we taught how to elicit our values at a young age, right? Like, this is something that would be great in a school curriculum.
You know, it's interesting. Like when I was in middle school, the theme of our middle school was character counts, and they had the 6 pillars of character. I don't even remember what they are.
But wow, where did you go to school?
No. Trust me, nobody paid attention to this stuff. You know, the teachers, I think, were really trying to instill this, and I think it got in there subconsciously somewhere. When I was that age, I just didn't care. You know, I wanted to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 on Nintendo. I wanted to, you know, get on AOL Instant Messenger chat and talk to my friends after school. And you don't realize these things are important until you realize they're important, you know. And what you said, though, about what it is that draws people into something like trading. You know, they want a certain lifestyle, they want money, they want cars or whatever. This is one of the core things that I've learned to be the most helpful sort of mental model that I use whenever I'm approaching anything, is when you're looking at that, you're working from like have, do, be model versus be, do, have. So have, do, be is like, man, if I only had more money, then I could do these things and then I'd be successful.
Right. Wow.
Whereas if you're like, if you actually want to become a successful trader, you need to say, what are the ways of being? What are the character traits that successful traders have? They're committed, they're resourceful, they're visionary, they have a purpose. That will enable me to do these things and then have what I want.
Wow. That's a fantastic model. You're just flipping it, but you're starting with identity. And that's funneling down the logical levels to action.
You got to start with identity, exactly. And I will give credit to my coach, Jim Fortin. I got that from Jim. So if anyone is listening that's interested in that, check out Jim's podcast. I got to pay respect where respect is due.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that who you're doing the program with as well, the one that you're saying you're going?
Yep, that's who I did the program with, yep.
Listen, this guy sounds like he's had a lot of impact on you. And do you want to share with the listeners maybe like what the process that you went through and –
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So there are so many rabbit holes and we haven't really even touched on like the stuff that I'm really interested in, which is kind of like the everything is energy side of things. Like,
let's get into that now then, Matt. Let's jump into that. I'm ready to go down.
All right. But okay. First I will say, in my work with entrepreneurs, I got to work with this great person, and at the end of what we were working on together, she said, hey, I want to gift you this, you know, energetic, intuitive healing session. And I had never done something like that before. And so I did the session. At the end of the session, the person said, I think you need to study with Jim Fortin. And I'm like, I don't even know who this is. She just goes, just check out his podcast. He has a coaching program. And as soon as I started listening to the podcast, I'm like, okay, I really like this guy. I relate to what he talks and how he talks about all this. He's read all the same books that I've read, you know, and he's way further on down the path. And I'm like, this is somebody I want to study with. And so, you know, he kind of blends in psychology, brain science, ancient wisdom type stuff, and blends those two things together in his approach. And so he launches a coaching program, I think 2 or 3 times a year. And I joined the last time that he did. And It was fantastic. You know, it was 14 weeks. Each week you're focusing on a different aspect of your character, of your being. So self-integrity, commitment, responsibility, subconscious values. You know, there's just 14 weeks, tons of content in there. And the place that I've come to, you know, after reading all these books and doing things like, so my wife is a yoga instructor and, you know, getting into sort of more of the esoteric side of things. When you really start paying attention to what's going on inside of you, you can feel a very big difference between your different emotions, between your states of minds, and between your intentions. So, and this, I think this is very applicable to traders. I'm not personally a trader, but I can really see this playing out, which is, if you're living your life and internally you're feeling all of this anxiety, fear, worry, and that's what's going on inside of you, and you have that vibration happening in your emotional state and in your body, that's your life. Like, that's what's going to be affecting everything that you do. Whereas if you sit down and you're grateful for the opportunity to trade and you're existing in the vibration of gratitude, that is going to be such a completely different experience for you sitting down, regardless of what it is that you're doing. And so what I'm working on right now is remaining in a high frequency, or remaining in a high, the David Hawkins stuff, a higher level, a power level vibration versus force.
Right. So, And can you, because I find that fascinating, like if you're in alignment with something, it feels a certain way, right? Some people call it flow, whatever the terms are. Like, are there some cues, Matt, that you've developed through this program that you could share with some of the traders when you'd be doing something that's not congruent, not in alignment with what they're maybe trying to achieve? Like, maybe it's physical, maybe psychological, maybe a thought process. Like, is there any way for them to know when it's not incongruent, and that way they could work on it?
Definitely. I mean, I would actually just recommend 15 minutes before you sit down to trade, just sit down, close your eyes, and ask yourself, how do I feel right now? And be honest. Do I feel worried? Do I feel fearful? Do I feel excited? Do I feel, you know, whatever it is that you're feeling? And then ask yourself, is the feeling that I'm feeling, does it serve what I'm trying to achieve today? And I'll just ask yourself that. And then there's so many things that you can do to just kind of smooth out your vibration. Like, you don't have to do anything crazy. You can just chill out. Like, I mean, we live in a kind of a crazy time, like an age of anxiety, that sort of thing. If you just spend 5 minutes sitting in a chair, doing nothing, closing your eyes before you start trading, before you start doing anything, you're probably going to be better off than if you, you know, Instagram, blah, blah, blah. I'm all worried. These people, whatever. All right. Now I need to make some big decisions today. Like, if you just chill out, you know, like, I don't know. I'm a big fan of relaxing, you know, taking a foot bath, staying calm, staying in a good, you know, a good vibration. So
that's phenomenal. Do you have like a morning routine, like a meditation that they usually do, or? Do you meditate guided or just solo?
Well, okay, George, and you challenged me on this one of the times we were talking. Is I still am holding on to the belief that I'm not a morning person,
right?
And you asked me,
when did you decide that?
When did you decide that? And I said, oh crap, great, yeah. So I do have. I just like to start my day slow. I do a lot more of the inner work kind of in the afternoon and the evening and before I go to bed. So I have more of a nighttime routine, you know, where I stretch. I have an audio that I listen to every day that sort of is like a subconscious primer, that sort of thing. I do things like Qigong, which is, it's like kind of yoga type work. And, right. You know, I like, our bodies and minds and emotions are like an instrument. So I just like to keep everything in tune.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. This is actually a fascinating part that we're touching on, Matt, because, you know, it's, we really push a morning routine. Like, we do have these boot camps where people come in person to learn one full week of trading. And we start the boot camp by talking about morning routine. And I could see the faces around the room. You know, like, what the hell?
Right, we're not getting in the signals. We're not, you know, I don't need another monitor. What's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like they expect these technical details right off the bat. And it's like when the people who do practice the morning routine end up having the most amount of success, because if you practice a morning routine, you get to the point where you're self-aware, you align your energy to what you're trying to achieve. And when you step out of those bounds, you're going to know it quicker than the person who has no idea, who just jumps in and starts clicking. They could be out of congruence when they even start. Exactly. But how would you know that unless you take measure of it at the beginning? And actually, it's kind of cool you mentioned this. I know the listeners can't see it, but on camera, I got this thing. My wife got it from Greg Braden. It's called the Heart Math Institute. I'm kind
of props to Greg. Love Greg. Yeah.
Greg Braden's the best. My wife and I watch a lot of his stuff on
The Divine Matrix.
Yes, love that series. And so I put this thing on. So I'm somebody who meditates quite frequently, always not as frequent as I want to. I used to meditate every single morning before trading, but it's been kind of crazy with the schedule, trying to get back to routine. But I put this thing on and it measured the coherence between your brain and heart, right? When they're kind of in sync. And I'm going to tell you this, even me being consciously saying to myself, hey, I'm going to work on self-development, I know that I'm coherent with what I'm doing, I put this thing on and it was a lot harder to stay in coherence than I thought. Right? It's like you might think you're in it, but how do you know unless you have some quantitative data? So I'm actually toying with the idea of applying some of this technology while I trade and tracking some of the data. But I think that, you know, being in coherence is super important, and I love that you shared that with our traders. So another takeaway from this episode, which I think is huge, is being able to take a little bit of inventory of your mental state. Are you in alignment with what you're doing? Because if you start the day trading wanting this greatness to, you know, I want to make money so I'm free, I want to treat my family, all this stuff, spend more time with them. But if internally you don't feel like that's what you're actually doing, if you have any conflict, it's going to be very hard to get to the end goal with conflict. And even if you do, it's going to take force to get there. And force is very exhausting. I think we've had a fascinating chat, Matt. You and I go for hours on this.
I mean, we're just getting started. Like, I feel like I'm just finally warmed up, because
I know
what you're saying right there is so important. And this is kind of something that I've noticed too when I start anything new. And it's this very fine line. And this is with everything. It's literally everything in our life. Are you doing the morning routine? Like, what's the intention behind everything? Is the morning routine, are you doing it because you're worried if you don't do it, you'll have a worse day? Because if that's what's happening, then that's the vibration of your morning routine. Or are you just doing the morning routine?
Right. Just to check it off a list.
You know? So it's interesting. Everything is like it's a very fine line we walk here. So we haven't even covered half the things on this.
We'll have to have you back for another episode for sure. And I love this discussion, right? Because to me, so much about success is self. It's an internal dialogue, because even when we were talking a little bit earlier in the episode about the things that people say to you, you get to choose or accept. You know, we could even do a deep dive in a whole episode of self-talk. It's like some of the nastiest things you've ever heard being said about you to your face was by yourself. All right. Yep. It's like and that self-talk, I think, doesn't really do much and creates a lot of negativity. But anyways, we'll have to do another deep dive. I want to ask you, Matt, you do a lot of reading. And you've put me onto a lot of great books as well. You want to share some of your favorite books that you know or you think are great reads for whatever reason? Just your top.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I know our listeners can't see, but I've got a bookshelf right there, and I got my bookshelf right there. So I'm gonna take a peek here. And you know what's great about all this too is since doing this work, I've read books that I never would have read before in the past. And one of the ones I told you about, and you know, of course, I've got to even check in my own feeling about these things when I'm telling you about it, because I'm like, man, well, I don't want to sound cheesy recommending a book like this to George, because you know, George is awesome. But I'm telling you guys, for you listeners, there's a book out there, and you can get it on Amazon. It's by a guy named Richard Dotts, and the book's called Dollars Flow to Me Easily. When I heard the title of this book, I'm like, oh great, here we go, a cheesy manifestation book or a cheesy NLP book, or it's just, this is like a clickbait book. That book is amazing. And it was way more profound than I ever thought. It was recommended in the coaching program that I did. And I'm so glad that I read it. But in terms of just kind of some of the books that have made the biggest impact on me, definitely Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. I'm a big, I mean, I have all these marketing books too, so we could do a whole nother marketing call if you guys want. I'm not sure. Are you familiar with Ken Wilber? I think I turned you on to some of his stuff.
I believe I bought one of them you recommended, but all my books are quarantined at the moment. I'm going to just have to put a hazmat suit and go get them at the office.
Go get them.
Because I got a lot of time for reading now.
All of Ken Wilber's books I highly recommend. If you're looking for one to get started with, he has a book called A Brief History of Everything. And Ken Wilber, he's basically like a philosopher that sort of integrates religion, spirituality with science and all that. So he's a very integral thinker. And he has, to this date, his model of reality, you know, his map of consciousness, his map of reality, is the one that I found to be the most helpful for me in understanding, you know, understanding reality. So definitely Ken Wilber's books. Guys, I don't know. I've read so many books. There's...
Well, you have a degree in literature, don't you?
I do, yeah.
You can literally write us. Just give us your whole list.
Here's one. Path to Profit by George Papasan. you can get it on Amazon. And here's something I will say. So all these self-help books, like I really like Florence Scovel Shinn. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her. The Wisdom of Florence Scovel Shinn, The Game of Life and How to Play It. She's great. The Abraham books. Again, yeah, that was another thing too, where I was like, Abraham, I don't know. And you know, you really got to check in. Well, why am I resisting this? Why do I not feel in harmony with this? And since I was able to do that, getting into that, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of great stuff in these books. But I will say that there is a book which I consider to be the source code of all this stuff, all the new thought, self-help, personal development stuff, which is called the Kabbalion. And I recommend
just reading that book.
Okay, you finished it. Like,
absolutely.
What did you think?
You know, I love that book.
Yeah,
it's one of those things that you read it, and I don't think I've grasped the full. Like you could sit there and think. You know the Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
I actually haven't read that one.
That's the kind of book it struck. Like it took some thought, like brain power. I wasn't flipping it to complete it. It took me a while to read it. I was flipping it to kind of go through and understand it. And you know, you really. Yeah. It's a really deep dive. I definitely recommend that one too. Love the book. You know which other one? The dollars flow to me easily when you mentioned that one to me, Matt. I was with you. I'm like, all right, it's clickbaity. I'm like, does Matt get like 30 cents out of every purchase? What's going on? Just kidding. But then I read it. One of the things that to me was the biggest takeaway that I think would help anyone is the 15-minute worry window.
Oh my. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we're warming up for episode two right here. We just got to chop it into two. But I will say this, that 15-minute worry window to me was super interesting, very different way of thinking of stuff because we spend our whole days worrying, most of us. We worry about what if this doesn't work? What if I got to do this? What does this person want from me? It's like, what if we just chose 15 minutes a day to just worry and then the rest of the day we don't? And that kind of would have transitioned nicely to abundance, right? Things come to you naturally. You got to sort of stop abundance. If you exist in your natural state, you're going to grow as an organism, but you know, that's a whole other episode, Matt.
Yeah. And if you want, I can email you a list. There's another great book called The Abundance Book by John Randolph Price. It's like, I don't know, very thin. You can read it in a day. Fantastic book. If you want another perspective on this sort of thing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. I mean, I hope, you know, for those of you listening out there, pick up some of these books. You know, Matt's really come out here and been brave enough to share his journey. And I think we've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about you, Matt. I always like chatting with you. And, you know, to be able to sort of open up and look at a conquest within yourself, I think very few people are brave enough to do it themselves, let alone share it. So, you know, I thank you for being an open book with us, sharing some of your stories. I think we got a lot of phenomenal takeaways from this episode. And I think as traders, as anyone really who's aspiring for something greater, and we're constantly searching for something greater, right? To me, I always felt like if I achieve all my goals in my lifetime, they were too small. You know, it's like we always need something to push us forward. But I guess my challenge to traders out there would be to look a little bit less outside of yourself where you think things matter, like monitors, strategies, you know, indicators, all that stuff, and look more internally and ask yourself, as an operator, how can I make myself better as an extension of what I'm doing? How can I align to my goals? You know, elicit your values. We talked about a lot about values in this episode. What are your values? What are some of the beliefs around those values that you're accepting? And can you learn from that in a way that, you know, you remove some barriers for yourself? Because success is meant to be effortless. Right? I think that we're on a path to success naturally from birth, and we disalign ourselves from that process. Kind of like psycho-cybernetics says, right? It's a constant failure and realignment process.
Yep.
Well, yeah, Matt, I really had a blast chatting with you. Thank you for coming on. Any last imparting wisdom you want to leave on us?
Just wanted to say, you know, thanks for having me on, George. I'm not a regular podcast guest, and this was a really great experience for me, and I just am really grateful that you had me on the show, and I hope that your listeners found value. You know, that was my whole intention coming onto the show, was just share what I've learned from my own life, and, you know, hopefully someone out there, you know, can benefit from it.
Absolutely. There's a ton of value in this episode, and I always love chatting with you. And I always said one day we're just going to have to hit record on our conversations.
Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, this was the day. Awesome, man. Thank you so much for being here, Marky. Thank you as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt, so much. I just wanted to also say that, you know, I was a little bit quieter today, but I've got a whole, you know, couple of pages worth of notes. There's a lot of things that really intrigue me about what you said, especially about, you know, your own journeys. Something I related to a lot was, you know, the savers part of it, and, right, and also the hypnosis journey. I think that was really, really intriguing. I know I've got a lot of work to do, and you guys have suggested some really awesome books. So hopefully on the next call, I'll be able to chip in a little bit more, but I really appreciate all of your knowledge and all of your sharing all of your experience with us.
Yeah. And in our next episode, we can talk about how I use my subconscious to sell a property I own for cash in 10 days.
Wow, like that's it. A plug right there. All right, Matt, appreciate it, man. Thanks.
You got to leave it off on a cliffhanger.
We're certainly going to dive deep into that. That's a great next episode idea. But yeah, thanks for being here for this one. I learned a lot with you, and I'll leave it off by saying this. I love how you mentioned we're all just a work in progress. Like, the work is never done, and it's more so the journey that matters rather than the end result. So thanks a bunch, buddy. Thanks for being here with us, and take care.
Yeah, take care, Matt.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.